Did you know that your gut is directly connected to your brain and can contribute to anxiety, stress, and depression, which, by the way, can also impact your sexual health? So here's my secret weapon for gut health, Just Thrive Probiotic. Now listen up. Just Thrive isn't just any ordinary probiotic. It is the only one that survives your stomach acid and reaches your gut 100% alive. All those others, the ones that come in fancy drinks or you gotta refrigerate, nope, that's not even a thing. This is the one. I've noticed significant changes to my overall health. Like, this might be TMI, but I'm way more regular and my skin is glowing. Think of Just Thrive like your personal gut gardener. It maintains the health of your gut by weeding out the bad bacteria that causes all those digestive issues and then replenishes the good, making it a total game changer for your digestion, your immune system, your skin, even your mood and sexual health. And if you want to check out my episode with Just Thrive's founder, Tina Anderson, we talk all about how gut bacteria plays a crucial role in your overall happiness, including your sex life. Because a healthy, balanced gut means less stress and more energy. So if you want to check it out, I'm offering a deal for my listeners. You can save 20% off site-wide at justthrivehealth.com with the promo code SEXWITHEMILY. That's 20% off on the probiotic that's truly changing lives and making waves in the wellness community. Everyone's talking about it. Don't just take my word for it. Try it for yourself. Go to justthrivehealth.com. Use promo code SEXWITHEMILY for 20% off. Imagine a toy so iconic it practically wrote the playbook for pleasure. Allow me to introduce or reintroduce you to the Magic Wand, aka the Cadillac of Vibrators. The Magic Wand Original is a trusted companion in the journey of joy, whether it's your first time chasing an orgasm or you're looking to give your partner a spine-tingling erotic massage. The Magic Wand should be your go-to with powerful rumbles and several different rhythms and patterns. It's no wonder the Magic Wand has scooped up accolades like Vibrator of the Year for decades. I'm so enamored with mine, I've customized my bedside table just to keep it within arm's reach at all times. But the magic doesn't stop with the original Magic Wand. The Magic Wand family has grown over the years, offering a variety of models to suit every lifestyle. Go cord-free with the Magic Wand Rechargeable. Embrace compact power without compromising intensity with the Magic Wand Mini. I love this mini. Or the Micro, which is just teeny tiny and really powerful. Or enjoy a range of sensations with the Magic Wand Plus. Each model delivers the same powerful orgasmic rumble that made the original a legend. So are you ready to experience the magic? Visit sexwithemily.com/magicwand and discover why the Magic Wand continues to enchant pleasure seekers around the globe. That's sexwithemily.com/magicwand. Magic Wand, more than just a vibrator. Hey everyone, thanks for listening to Sex with Emily. Today's show is all about stepping up your communication, both in the bedroom and in the dating world. And I'll also be answering your emails about jealousy, masturbation, and so much more. Thanks for listening.
Look into his eyes. They're the eyes of a man obsessed by sex. Eyes that mock our sacred institutions. Bedroom eyes. Call them in a bygone day.
Hey, Emily, you got a boyfriend?
Because my man E here, he just got his heart broken. He thinks you're kind of cute.
A girl's
got
to have her standards. Oh, my.
Do women know about shrinkage?
Isn't it common knowledge?
What do you mean, like laundry? It shrinks?
Can we not talk about sex so much?
Are you kidding me?
Oh, my God, I feel so good.
Being bad feels pretty good.
But you know, Emily's not the kind of girl you just play with.
You're listening to Sex with Emily. We're talking about sex, relationships, and everything in between. For more information, go to sexwithemily.com. Check out all the crazy good stuff happening there. Sign up for our mailing list. If you don't, that's crazy. We put up blogs every day and Twitter and Instagram at Sex with Emily. Let's get all that out of the way. Oh, and Facebook. We're good time everywhere. So yeah. Listen to how my day started.
Let's do it.
Okay. I woke up and I had an irrational fear. That I had bed bugs in my apartment.
Are you doing meth? That's
no.
A meth thing to do.
To think you've bed bugs?
Yeah. Meth fucks always think that they have like bugs on their body.
No, I've never in my life thought like that's why it's so now that I have 12 hours of retrospective. Mm-hmm. It
what
was really
it?
Irrational. Like I'm embarrassed that I like called my landlord. I was late for work. Okay. So a friend of mine just recently had bed bugs. Uh-huh. And I actually had 20 when I was backpacking through Thailand, right. I've experienced bed bugs. I was sleeping in the jungle in Malaysia.
Those are jungle bugs.
No. They were bed bugs. I was on a mattress. I had bed
in the
bug
jungle?
Bites. Yeah, because it was like a hut where you, like one of those salt licks
right.
where you go.
Okay.
Don't stop asking.
I got it.
They were bed bugs and they were all over my body and like they still have scars and it was painful. And then I also had this
scab on my, like a scar on my right. back, like a bug bite from like a spider bite from a few nights ago or something. But I didn't know.
Oh,
I
wasn't paying attention. This is recent. Yeah, this like is out a day of the
ago.
Jungle.
So I woke up, the jungle 20 years ago. So I always think about bed bugs. Then my friend just got bed bugs, right. which is like the most horrific experience.
That's not your friend anymore.
Well, you have to like get rid of everything.
You can't have friends with bed
you
bugs.
You have to put stuff in like saran wrap and right. set it to the dry cleaner. Okay. Then there was little, it's going to sound, but there's little spots of blood on my, like where I was sleeping.
Uh-huh.
Like, and that's what the bed bugs look like. They leave these little.
They do.
And it was like three of them. And I was like, well, is it that scratch I had the other night from this bug bite, but I didn't notice? Uh-huh. Like it was a spider bite, a separate bite, which really was. Like, you know, you get little bites.
No.
Do you get those ever?
No, I'm pretty bite free.
Really?
I think okay, it's all,
so this is what
all
I'm
the
saying.
Drugs and alcohol in
the
in my
mind,
blood. I, don't think
I didn't
like
know if it was a spider bite or a.
You
I have little
you
things of blood.
Bugs.
So then I got really scared, and then I had like so I looked at the bite again, and I had like two little, and they say you have three dots. So the point, I Googled it, which is such a mistake, and my bed looked like, and they said you have three in a row. They call it breakfast, lunch, dinner. So I called my landlord. I'm like, do you have extra bed? He's like, we've never had that problem. I'm like, shit. So I go on Yelp.
He's
I find
like,
the
it's
best
scabies.
One.
You're a whore. Scabies.
So they come in like 20 minutes. They show up, and I'm like, I'm really nervous. They're turning over my couch.
Wait, Terminix showed up?
Yeah, no, like somebody, the exterminator.
Well, all right.
Two guys. They're like, hello, ma'am. They got great reviews. This is like, they come in and they are like, go in my bedroom. Uh-huh. But they got the mask on and the thing. And they're like turning in the sheets over like, do you mind if we open some drawers?
Oh, no.
And I'm like, oh, no.
You're because, like, they're vibrating already. Why not?
Because here's the thing. I have a storage bed, right? Which means I have a mattress with like eight drawers underneath it because I have a very small place. So I'm like, yeah. And the guy, he speaks Spanish primarily. And I said, yes, but I have sex toys when you open. He goes, oh, no, don't worry. It's okay. We've seen everything, you know.
So they think.
So I'm going, oh, my God. And they're like flipping. And I'm just going, do you see anything? Like, I'm really nervous. Irrationally. And no, I'm not doing meth or drugs. No, it's like a real.
It's a meth move.
Dude, I wish. That sounds fun. But so they're searching. And then he's like, it's okay, ma'am. I've seen it all. And then I'm like, well, how frequently, like, is it common? He's like, well, there's been an outbreak lately. And I'm like so panicked. He's like, and then they'd stop and they'd go, what about this? And they're like conferring and I'm watching them. And then they come out to the living room and they flip over the couch.
Mm-hmm.
And he's like, oh, and he points at something. He goes, there's one.
No.
And I'm like, oh my God. And I'm like freaking out. He's like, wait, let me take it outside. And he looks, oh no, ma'am, that's not one. I'm sorry. That's not a bed bug.
What was it?
It was a, what do you call it? Like
the Jeju Mini?
No, it was like a little tiny, like a bug that happened.
There
like
was a bug.
There was a bug, but it wasn't a bed bug.
It wasn't in the bed.
So then I said, well, where do people, like, how can I prevent it? And then it turns out I don't have bed bugs. Mm-hmm. And he's like, you're clean. It's good. And I felt a little crazy because I had these three little bites and then the little blood from the,
right.
And I'm busy. It could have been there for 3 days. I didn't notice it. And I freaked out. So then I said, he goes, well, you just got to be careful. You know, where you sleep and who you sleep with. And so then he thinks I'm a prostitute. I'm like, no, I'm a sex, like I'm a doctor of sex. I don't like sleep around.
Good news. He's no like, bed bugs, but bad news. You probably have HPV.
He said, just be careful who you sleep with and who you bring around. Like he's giving me advice.
Wait, the Terminix guy's telling you
saying.
This.
He goes, well, you know, I don't know who's sleeping over.
Your Mexican accent is god awful. Let me just tell you that. Okay. You sound like an Indian person or something. But yeah, that's bad times, Em. If like the exterminator.
How my day started.
The exterminator.
He's lecturing me about getting bed bugs in the future because I might be sleeping around because I have so many sex toys.
Did I tell you that my 7-Eleven guy was giving me guilt trips about buying too many
cigarettes?
Packs of cigarettes and
like,
booze and
no.
beer? Yeah, he's like, I worry about you. So I found a new 7-Eleven.
But didn't you quit?
Yeah, this was a few months ago.
Oh,
but,
right, of course.
But if the Terminix guy is giving you sex advice, that's
well,
bad times.
All
and if
heard
the 7-Eleven guy
was
is giving
sex
me yeah,
toys, and he's like, it's okay.
Did he see
and
any?
Then he's like, well, you got to be. No, he saw no bugs.
He saw no, but the toys.
Well, I left when he said I'm opening drawers.
Did you pay him in dildos?
I paid him like $50. I got it was fine, but that was a weird way that my day started,
yeah,
and
it seems
sort of out of character for me because I'm not a hypochondriac.
Mm-hmm.
I've never doing it, and I like
overthink things. You do overthink
no,
things.
No, but I'm not about like things that I worry about things that most people don't worry about.
That's
like
true.
I don't worry about the normal things. So
most
that's,
people don't worry
that's
about
how
bed
my
bugs.
Day started, which was a good time. And yeah, but I'm good. No bed bugs.
Good.
And I'd also, so.
I hugged you, so I'm glad you have no bed bugs.
I know, but isn't that why that'd be terrible?
Yeah. You brought me food too.
I know.
Thank
that was
you
a
very
whole
much
other
for
thing.
That.
You're welcome.
But I'm glad there's no bed bugs involved.
I just
with
discovered
food.
This California Chicken Cafe, which yeah. I'm always starving. I have a hard time. People are like, oh, do you eat? Yes, I eat. I love food. I'm working on getting the food into the mouth. I'm trying working on finding places to have food. Come to find out, 2.5 years I've lived in my place, a block away.
The California.
I knew it.
Chicken.
I thought
kitchen?
It was just chicken.
California Kitchen, California Chicken Cafe.
No, it's fresh. It's delicious.
So here's the deal. I was doing an after disaster at one of my other shows, right? I was doing a podcast over at the world famous improv, Hollywood Improv, where you did your 10-year anniversary show, right? About an hour ago, I was doing it with my co-host, Mike Carano, as well as Tyler White in there. And you were sending me texts, and it was interrupting the show, right? Then I'm like, sorry, guys, hold on. I got to check that in. I'm like, Emily's texting me. And then Carano goes, and I said, she's getting me some kind of chicken salad. And then Carano, my co-host, goes, is it California Chicken Cafe?
Shut up.
And I'm like, yeah, how do you know? He's like, that place is the best. And then the show became about this goddamn place for about 5 minutes before I finally got him off of it.
I just discovered it.
He's like, you got to get the coleslaw. It's the best. It's the Chinese coleslaw.
Why didn't you tell me to get okay.
Because it was interrupting the show.
Well, here's the point. Is
now it's continuing to interrupt this show.
Okay, but here's the point is that I was so mad at myself because and now happy that this all comes down to me. My mom always says to me, open your eyes, pay attention, that this has been right there. It has all the food I like and it's been there for 2 years. So now I'm very excited about it and I'm happy to share with you.
I love that. I love when you find out about something new and convenient right around the corner.
I can spit there from my house.
Don't do that.
Okay, so enough about my day.
Your bed bugs.
I'm changing a lot though. I'm getting food in the stomach. Taking care of my health.
You weren't doing that for a while. You know what? Meth heads don't put food in their stomach either.
No. It's that I don't. It's last minute, but now I'm realizing. The point of my chicken cafe story was that my mother has always said to me, open your eyes. You don't pay attention because I am very focused on work.
I told this story.
Things.
It's been a while, Em, but I told this story. I went to visit you at your old. She has a very concerned look on her face right now.
Okay. What's
don't
the story?
Be so concerned. It's a good story. It's actually not a great story, but you had a beautiful little office on Hollywood Boulevard, I think, right? Almost like right on Hollywood and Island, which is one of the most famous intersections in the world. It was a cool location. I went to visit you
My
there.
My office
you're,
is still there, but not
you're
as
You're way
nice
up
as them.
High. I went up and I said hello to the girls. I was saying hi to you. And, you know, there were dildos everywhere and vibrating toys. And it was a fun time. People were walking by, kind of like looking in. It was a scene. And I look out your window and you have this beautiful view of like the back of a hotel and the pool. And you could see people like tourists lounging by the pool, like, you know, living their dreams out. And I'm like, oh, my God, that's so cool. You can look at that right there. And you're like, what? What pool? What are you talking about? I'm like, the giant thing right outside your window. You're like, I've never seen that before. I've never looked out the window. I've never looked out this window before.
No, but not only...
And it was a giant window.
I know.
It was like the
only... The whole thing was the window. That was the big thing was the view. And not only that, a friend had been there when I first moved in and said, did you see that you can see the Hollywood sign?
And the Hollywood sign. Right nope. there. There's a whole scene right out your window. I'm sure that's
it's like the view.
50% of what you were paying was for that window.
Never looked.
And you never
Still
even
don't
looked.
Look.
Because there was a computer in front of you instead.
So what I'm saying is I'm opening my eyes now and more things. My whole life I was like, open your eyes, open your eyes. Now California, it kind of pissed me off, but now I wanted to share it with you tonight. There's nothing quite like sinking your teeth into a good sandwich. But listen, carb guilt is real. I'm someone who's very invested in my health, and I like to get my carbs from oats and beans and fruits and not bread. But I love bread. So here's my hack. Thanks to Hero Bread, you can enjoy your favorite bready delights without the carb consequences. Hero Bread has turned those carby, empty calorie bread products into fluffy, delicious breads that boast 0 to 1 net carbs per serving, 0 grams of sugar, and are packed with loads of fiber and protein. The first time I tried their white bread, I was skeptical. Could it really taste good with such impressive nutritional stats? Well, I'm pleasantly surprised to say it absolutely does. The texture is just phenomenal. It's like this soft, airy, and it just toasts up like a dream. I've whipped up everything from grilled cheese to PB&J and even made enchiladas, wraps, and tacos with their tortillas. Each time, Hero Bread has been a game changer. And here's the kicker. Despite its light texture and great taste, Hero Bread fits perfectly into my health goals. It's been adding more fiber to my diet while keeping the sugar at bay. Whether I'm packing a picnic lunch, planning a road trip snack, which I often do, or prepping French toast for breakfast, Hero Bread is my go-to. So whether you're craving a classic sandwich, a burger, or a hearty bun, or even indulging in a low net carb croissant, Hero Bread is something for everyone. And I highly recommend checking their monthly small batch drops out so you can try goodies like the 1 gram net carb Hero Cheddar Biscuit and so much more. You won't believe what they have. So you ready to kick carb guilt to the curb? Head over to hero.co and snag 10% off your order with the code Emily. That's Emily at hero.co.
I can't wait to have it.
So my eyes are more open.
I'm going to be polite though and wait till the show's over to eat it.
Yeah, me too, but I'm starving. Okay, that is funny. I forgot you pointed out the pool. I got to open my eyes. I got to pay attention. So which... I'm doing, but let's talk about...
You got any sex in the news?
Thanks for asking. That's really good, Anderson. Did you know that 1 in 4 people admit to having sex at the gym?
Wait, at the gym?
At the gym.
Wait, they admit to having sex while they're at the gym?
Yeah, like, of course you hear about people having it in the sauna, like in the gay, in the men's bathroom, yeah. and women. But this is the thing. Apparently, that 2,000 adults surveyed, 25% have been successful on their mission of having sex in the gym. 10% carry condoms with sex specifically in mind. And of those victorious in their efforts, 47% were women. And also, near the cross trainers, 45% of women said this was the best machine for putting the moves on men due to how it makes their butts look.
What? Wait, what?
Guys preferred the lat pull down. Like when women are showing their lats.
Dudes don't like lats.
They do. I get compliments on my lats all the time, but maybe because they don't know what else to compliment.
When is the last time someone came up to you and said, hey, nice lats?
No, they usually say like nice, they say nice triceps.
Those are very different from lats.
But my back lats are here. I get it. But people are like, you have a nice back. I have muscles. I got to do push-ups and stuff.
Is this while they're...
No one says lats specifically, but they mean that area.
Okay.
So what I don't understand is where they're having sex. So over 80% of people who have had gym sex use an app to do so. So maybe they were like, I'm at the gym, you're at the gym, like on Tinder.
Wait, there's an app?
Well, there must be a gym app, but who knows? 49% of them were straight, 31% gay, the rest bisexual. But like, I don't know where they're, I mean, it says the sauna, not necessarily in the sauna or the steam room, but where are they having sex? In the
garage?
Yeah,
I don't get it. Because I go to the gym all the time. I've been going to the gym
since
I was a kid.
I've never seen, now granted, I don't notice things, but Hollywood's
like. I've been to like 12 different gyms in my life, at least. You know, I've been members at 12 different gyms. I've been a member to gyms. And I can't imagine any of them where I'd, like squash ball court. No, but there's giant glass. I mean,
I don't know.
Where do you do it?
Well, the gym people working there aren't always the sharpest people. Like, they probably wouldn't really care if you, like, went into, like, the empty, like, exercise room to have sex.
Empty?
But,
you know what? There
but
is
I want to know where they're having sex because this makes me want to never go to the gym again because it already has so many germs.
Yeah.
And now there's good, I have to worry about, like, semen on my Stairmaster.
It's slippery, too.
On the cross trainer. Yeah. Stairmasters.
So what's the cross trainer? Is that like the Nordic?
Oh, it's called the elliptical.
Elliptical, the one where it spins around. Yeah. I like that one. Easy on the joints.
I don't know. And I'm always weirded out by people hitting on me at the gym, too, when that used to happen. But I don't belong to a gym now.
Hey, baby.
But nice here's lats. The thing. If you're a gym person and you see someone, you have the lat comment got me every time. and also, it did. What if they can't say anything? If you can't say anything nice, just say that I have nice lats.
Nice lats.
But I find that strange, too, because I feel like I've logged my hours at the gym, never seen anyone. But... It's okay.
So you're complaining for not getting hit on.
I'm curious. No, I get hit on at the gym, but no one said like, and I've got condoms in my gym bag.
And you, no one's ever hit on me
in the gym, but no one's been like, let's
go take a spin. If you know what I mean.
Yeah. No.
Okay.
Silly. But here's another one that's more important. Ready?
What could be more important than banging at the gym? You know what I mean?
This might be inspirational for people. Mm-hmm. This has to do with your health. Couples who use contraception,
Robert.
Are 3 times more likely to have sex, any kind of contraception. And it's probably because is it Johns Hopkins did the research, and they said
he's a smart dude. That see people some guy that's smart.
Yeah, it's one of the top schools in the country. Are you kidding?
Johns Hopkins is
he
smart.
He said it separates sexual pleasure from the responsibilities of pregnancy. So researchers conducted the study, analyzed data. Filled up by 210,000 sexually active women. And they said that women between the ages of 20 and 29, those who are more educated, those who want to have children in the next 2 years, were more likely to have sex in the previous 4 weeks. So women want to have better, healthier, safer sex by separating sex from pregnancy and childbearing. Contraception has that. Knowing how often women have sex and what role contraception plays can give us a better understanding of how our meeting our family planning goals of improving access. The point is, if you know that you're having, okay, right. If you use contraception, mm-hmm. you're more likely to be more confident that you're not worrying about getting pregnant. Like you're on it. Like you're a person who's like responsible. You're concerned about your sexual health. Mm-hmm. And then you're more likely to have sex as well.
And there's also this.
You're responsible.
If you're using a condom, chances are you don't know the person that well. And new sex is always the best sex, and you have more sex when it's new.
So you think these women are a little easy or something?
Well, I know. I'm just saying that chances are the people that are wearing the condoms are having sex with people that don't know that well, who are new partners, and you do have sex with new partners more often than you do with somebody you've been with for a long time. I think that's a factor. You know what I mean?
It says couples, though, who use contraception, which I probably didn't really get to that part because it's just study.
Do they define couples? Truncated. You know what I mean? Anyone who bangs might be a couple. And so it says,
she explained that women have many reasons for not using the method above. Women also reported because they were having infrequent. Women reported not using contraception because they were having infrequent sex. I don't know. The point is, I don't fucking know.
The point is,
this is an annoying article, and I wish that I read it. Condoms. Well, the annoying thing is that it led with couples. The best part is that it is true that if you're responsible, it's like people who use sunscreen are less likely to probably get skin cancer.
Like
this.
It's like people who wear sunscreen are more apt to be at the beach. They go to the beach
but
more often.
But they also probably just healthier, responsible people.
Right.
I mean, I just think people don't care. Like this woman. Okay. So
you see that
on.
Bucket next to you?
No.
The condoms?
Yeah, that's been there forever. They're probably expired.
No. Do you see, like, it was full. I mean, it's a big, it probably holds about a gallon, maybe 2 gallons of condoms. And it was full to the brim when it got set down there about 6 months ago.
Oh.
And you can see it's about 1/8 of the way.
I love that.
Full now.
I'm glad that people are taking condoms. There should be more
who
condoms.
Who are they, though? This is our studio.
Oh, let's
do a
poll. Let's figure it out.
And no one in this room who works in here is taking those condoms.
No, I'm not taking them.
Some little sex fiend is coming in here when Loveline or you and I aren't in here, and they're taking
condoms. Think we should start an experiment or something?
I kind of want to put like a trip camera up.
Let's do it.
A little camera that like,
you
trips.
Would do that.
Yeah.
Set a camera up. I love it. Okay, I'm going to tell you this about condoms. I love skin condoms, as you know. They're my favorite.
S-K-Y-N.
Do I always say that?
Well, you got to.
Well, because it's hard to understand. You might not know how to spell it.
Why did you throw skin at me?
Oh, because I was looking at those condoms going...
Oh, I see. I get you. Okay,
I love that people are taking condoms, but no, I'm just saying to you, they're like the orange ones, and they're probably expired. Like, I worry about people taking rando condoms.
Rando condoms.
And I'd rather have people just like come to my office and take condoms, because I don't know. There's some condoms that aren't great. And that's why condoms get a really bad rap, because people have bad experiences with condoms. And in their mind, they think it, you know, they can't get hard, they can't stay hard, mm-hmm. sex isn't as good.
They psych themselves out.
But I agree that there are condoms that don't fit you. And they don't work for you. Mm-hmm. And you don't like, but there are condoms that will. So keep searching. It shouldn't be a reason not to use.
Right. What are you doing? You're eating.
I mean,
what are we doing? We're not eating on the program. Wait, what is that you're eating? It's orange. It's like orange squash puree.
This is Chicken Cafe. Okay, so here's the other story.
It's Chicken Cafe.
My
like
mom
a chain?
Always says, she's always trying to guess. She's always trying to get me to like, just pick up a rotisserie chicken. Get some squash. You could steam squash. You know how easy it is? You put it in the microwave. It's really good for you, which I've never done. Mm-hmm. They have squash and chicken rotisserie, which is the stuff I like, mm-hmm. and fresh salad. And
it's everything you like, and it was right there.
I was hungry eating it. Yeah.
I like your mom.
I love my mom, too. And I'm just like, Mom, guess what? There's squash next door.
I can't imagine me ever having an opportunity to bring this up on any of your other shows. Have you, Adam Sandler? I grew up loving Adam Sandler on Saturday Night Live, and I loved him in Billy Madison, which has become a cult favorite of a lot of people. You know, I'm a movie guy. And he used to come out with these comedy albums like every year where he had like sketches on them and whatnot. And he did voices and he had songs. That's where the Hanukkah song came from.
I love the Hanukkah song.
And the Lunch Lady song. I don't know if you remember that one. But one of his sketches, and I think it might have been recurring. He might have done it on a few different albums. And I'm sure a lot of your listeners have probably heard it.
Okay.
But he did this like old Jewish grandmother who was very sexual. And she would be like... She'd be like talking to her kids like, hey, Johnny, why don't you have your girlfriend come over and take out your cock and balls and play with them? Oh, Mom, come on. That's gross. Stop it. And it would go
Does
on
it
like
sound
that.
Sound like my mother?
And it sounds like I could see. Yeah. Like
that's
some kind
so
of,
funny.
Someone
Can we
in the
play
Emily.
It?
Emily.
That's my mom.
Family tree.
Yeah. She's like, maybe you can't have an orgasm. Do you ever try smoking pot or anything? Maybe she'd get a little stoned. That was her only sex advice. She's not even a stoner. She was like, you just
She would just
so.
Tell you to smoke drugs.
One time she was like, in college, when I had not had an orgasm yet, I was a late bloomer like many of you.
Like, how many of your listeners do you think have actually gone to their mom and say, hey, Mom, I can't do it?
Well, my mom, we hadn't even talked. I just knew that I could talk to her about it. This is why I worry about so many people with sex education, because my mom always said, talk to me if you have questions. But I was never like, hey, Mom, I didn't know what the questions were that I had. And it didn't occur to me ever to touch my vagina. And masturbate. And so when I started having intercourse, once I was in college and my friends were all talking about these crazy orgasms, I'm like, the orga what? And they're like, you even had one? You didn't masturbate? I'm like, damn. And then my mom was like, really? You're so stressed out, Emily. Just maybe you should like smoke a joint and chill out, have one. But she doesn't even, that was her random advice.
Sorry, I was looking for cock and balls.
My mom said, can't you make some squash? Okay.
Do you have any emails?
I do, but first.
But first, cock and balls. Hold on.
Did you find
it? You can eat a little food and then maybe play with your cock and balls for a while.
I'm just going to eat, Mom.
All right. And then maybe a little later, you play with your cock and balls for Mama.
I don't.
I can see something like that somewhere in the Emily family
tree.
How'd
you find it? That's brilliant.
There's this thing called Google. It's an app. Check
Dude,
it out.
I love Google. Okay, but before I get into the amazing killer emails from my listeners, can we have, I want the Hanukkah song is my favorite, but it's We're like not Hanukkah anymore. We're going to take a quick break and give a shout out to our amazing sponsors. We love them. Thank you for supporting them. And we'll be right back. Now I've got emails. Okay, everyone, thank you for emailing me feedback@sexwithemily.com. And you know I love hearing from you, and I love getting your emails, and I love that you're supporters. Also, great to include your name, how old you are, where you live.
Your sex.
And your sex. Your male or female.
Because it's tough to tell sometimes. Every
yeah,
week I
it's
say
like
that.
Sam.
Yeah.
Hi, Emily. I've been listening to your podcast for over a year now via iTunes, and it's helped me immensely. I'm 24, and my boyfriend is 42, and he has self-diagnosed himself with retroactive jealousy.
What?
He's jealous because though I am much younger, I've had many more lovers than he has. And as a result, he's constantly comparing himself to my past experience.
That's classic Raj. Classic.
Classic Raj.
R-A-G. R-A-J.
Retroactive jealousy?
Yeah.
He constantly bombards me with questions, has me recall stuff I would rather not think about. How could I help assure him that I love him and I don't compare him to my past? Thanks, Janice. Okay, it sounds like your boyfriend is super. First of all, let's get this, Anderson. The age difference, she's 24, he's 42.
Yikes.
Boyfriend sounds really insecure. And he's actually kind of being a masochist here, I'd say. He's torturing himself with your past experiences as a way to keep his self-worth lower and to keep you feeling guilty. The term retroactive jealousy, which he like pulled out of his ass, he's actually referring to retrospective jealousy.
Oh, look at that. He doesn't even know shit.
Or retrograde jealousy. I mean, he's not that off. I'm kidding you. I'm not slamming your guy here. We're trying to help. I actually am not usually that negative. So as we talked about a few weeks ago that I'm
very
nice.
Positive. You see the positive in everything.
Yes, but you're referring to his constant, often obsessive, painful thoughts and the curiosity regarding a partner's past relationships and or sexual history is this retrospective jealousy.
Mm-hmm. That makes much sense.
And they're
sense.
Notorious for asking their partners too many questions and then they replay it in their head. The same jealous thoughts. It's like a mental movie in their mind right. over and over and over again. Mm-hmm. Overthinking the condition rather than taking necessary steps.
What are the necessary
steps?
They
cannot put the jealousy behind him. So this isn't looking good for me. It's not looking good for me because he's probably had these issues for a while. This is how he does relationships. So no amount of reassurance of how loyal you are and how great you are is going to put this to rest for him. I just have a feeling he's not sitting and talking to me face to face that this has been going on. He needs some intensive therapy. And even then, his issues might not be solved right away. Because I'm sure that this is, think about it. Like, tell me again. Oh, and then like I can't making her feel bad.
Right. It's like a bad tooth that he keeps good messing right. with.
Can I tell you? Cuckolding too, in a way, when men want.
There's something to it. And I have a lot of experience with this. I hate to admit it.
You used to do this.
Yeah. It's from my own personal experience, Emily,
did you have jealousy in retrograde?
It's not the guy. It's the relationship, for the most part. Because I've had this with some girls, absolutely, and other girls, not at all. And it depends on the relationship. And now that I'm older and I can look back on those relationships where it did rear its ugly head, because it is awful. I mean, I would obsess. And a lot of the time it had to do with drugs. I was on stimulants and whatnot, which made it much worse.
Meth?
Meth and cocaine made it much, much worse. I would, like, really, really focus in on things.
Like, you'd hear one thing?
Like let's say I was
give
jealous
me an example.
Of, okay, like, a girl slept with a guy named Mark. And I was obsessing about Mark, and I hated the idea. I would imagine him like getting to touch her and seeing her in a certain way. And it was always like she was the victim. And like it would get to the point where like I would see, and you don't realize it, but Mark is everywhere. Like Mark Four, Mark, yeah. And I would see the name, and I would be, and then it would just propel me onto that thought where I couldn't get out of that thought, and I would be thinking about it. And I would beg for details. I would need to know more. Torture myself. Torture this poor girl. And it was really looking back on it. All those relationships that happened in probably about three or four, I hate to admit it, but okay. three or four relationships, I got that bad with these girls. I was also like rescuing them from something because they were victims. And I was almost like the dad or the big brother, and they were my girlfriend as well, which wasn't a good match.
But were you resenting them then because you were rescuing them?
I got so bad at some points, Em, that I was actually jealous of myself. I would go back, like this one girl, I was with her for 2 years, and maybe longer. And I remember going back thinking that when she first met me, like she slept with me too soon. And what was she doing? Why would she do that? She's better than that. And I was like jealous of myself. It was insanity. But then
you couldn't win. You
I was
so
in healthy
hard on
relationships too, and other good relationships where like they did have. I don't want to say that they had a dad, but they came from they were more secure with themselves. They didn't victimize themselves or put themselves out there to be victimized. I didn't feel like I had to protect them, and I was healthy in those relationships.
So okay, let me understand this. So it was like the wounded bird thing,
yeah,
and then you felt it was more of a protective thing than
a
jealous
I wanted
thing
to keep them.
Or were they kind of the kind of women who wanted you to be jealous? They're like, oh, this one time mark.
I was in a couple of those, but those were the worst.
Okay, so really this was about, you think
it was all me. It was all me. It wasn't like they're in high school. I was with the girls that wanted me to be jealous, and they'd like to see me get in fights for their honor. You know, it made them feel special. No, I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about like I was trying. Looking back, it's quite clear that I was trying to protect these girls, and they had a lot of them were like they had been sexually victimized before I came to the rescue. And I was
but now, like your wife can just be like, "Hey, Mark," or you know, this guy keeps calling me.
Yeah, my wife can't make me jealous at all. I'm so secure with her.
But I also think it's maturity. And picking the right people. You're right. Certain people do trigger jealousy.
But this guy's my age.
Yeah. So he needs, don't
you
think?
And he's with a really young girl. And I'm wondering if maybe.
You're writing me some parallels here.
I think there's also, when I was doing it, looking back on it, it's clear as day now that the relationship wasn't right. And I was trying to sabotage it from within as well. So perhaps he realizes that he's got some kind of guilt because the age difference, he knows that it's not going to last long term. And he's trying to implode it.
Yeah. Might be. And he just has some kind of condition where he just wants to torture himself in some way. But yeah, there's a lot of reasons why we choose our thoughts.
Yeah.
We choose our lives because our thoughts become
people.
A reality.
They can't.
Compulsive that they could learn to.
Yeah.
Well, it's a lifelong process to learn. So anyway,
I'm telling you, if I got behind like a Mark III van in traffic, I couldn't control my thoughts. just be thinking about Mark.
What if you just saw like park here? Would you be like, that's close
no,
to Mark?
No, if it, okay, it didn't have to rhyme. Yeah.
So anyway, Janelle, I think that you're young. Janice, you're young. You can have a lot of experiences. You don't need this kind of negativity early in your dating life. Okay. How to get a wife to self-love. Dear Emily, Dr. Emily. Well, thank you very much. I love getting some respect around here.
Yeah, whatever.
I mean, seriously, he respects you more than like the Terminator who came over.
The Terminator? Oh, you're talking about the exterminator.
He started giving me sex. And he started telling me like I should like change my ways.
You just said, why don't you yell and say, get out! I'm a sex doctor! Out!
I'm a doctor. Dear Emily, how do I approach the subject of self-pleasure, a.k.a. masturbating to my wife? She's never in her life gone solo, to which I believe her. She's come out of her shy shell being with me and has eased into trying new things in the bedroom, except taking matters into her own hand. LOL. I really believe that it would make our sex life even better with her discovering new heights within her body. Thank you in advance for your advice, Tim. He wants his wife to self-pleasure, as a lot of men do. I mean, women, we hear this a lot from men. They're like, I don't understand why my partner doesn't masturbate, because we also know that that would give her pleasure and it might help her have more orgasms when she's with him. But there could be a lot of things going on here, Tim, that could be blocking her desire to touch herself. She could have shame associated with masturbation, religious beliefs, like overall disinterest, lack of know-how. And you've mentioned that she's been coming out of her shell, so it could just be a slow process she needs to work up to. But pressuring her, believe me, is not the way that it's going to happen. And I'm curious why you want it so badly. Is she not orgasming during sex? Does she not know what she likes? So a great thing, if you discuss beforehand, my favorite, mutual masturbation. You show her how you like to touch yourself. She can observe and help her get more familiar. She must know, you know, you could even just play a game like, does this feel good? Does that feel good? Get some lube, get some candles, you know, and help her get into her body. But don't just whip it out and like force the mutual masturbation. But let her come around her own time. But no woman wants to be pressured, because masturbation is also a very personal thing. So I'm wondering why she tells you she doesn't want to. So who knows? It could be something happened in childhood. Hi, Emily. Another email.
New email.
Do you want to talk about masturbation more?
Smooth transition. I enjoy talking about your mom and masturbation, but let's move on to the next email.
I'm being super linear.
I like it. It's not like you. Let's do it.
Okay.
Forward.
Hi, Emily. I've been with my current partner for around 8 months and have still never orgasmed through intercourse.
That's a chick.
I've before, yep, only by myself. I've never ever with other guys either. Even being in long-term relationships, I've tried everything, even doing it alone, and it seems that it cannot be done vaginally, even when stimulating on top.
Do you think she's tried double penetration?
No.
She said everything. She's a liar.
You don't start with the double.
She said she tried everything.
I feel like I want to be honest with him, but I feel like it will break him if I tell him I've been faking it. I just don't want to disappoint him, but it's only fair for me and him. How do I approach this easily? I'm nervous. Love your show. Alex in Melbourne, Australia. Down Alex under. Melbourne, Australia, from Melbourne, whatever. It says Alex Melbourne hyphen Australia, parens Australia on iTunes. Here's the point, Alex. This is sticky.
Fake.
No, I always say don't ever fake orgasms right. because you're certainly not
doing a service, to yourself
or the partner that you're with. And you want to have a fulfilling sex life, and you like this guy, so you want to be honest. However, I don't think that you need to come out right away and say, guess what, honey? Uh-huh. I've been faking it the whole time.
What if she just stops faking it?
Sometimes little omissions are, you know, okay in a relationship, but and then just never has one again.
Yeah, she's just like, I used to, and now I'm not. Let's work on this.
Well, how would you want it to be handled with you? Because I have some ideas here. But what, let's say you've been with a woman for, how long have they been together? 8 months.
8 months.
And she was like, Anderson, And then I'm giving you the point. She's like, babe, uh-huh. It's so good. Yeah. Oh my God, my toes. And then like 8 months later, she's like,
my toes.
Guess what?
Yeah.
I actually faked
everyone.
I feel
betrayed. And I feel like I'd look at her and I'd be like, it's like, I don't even know you, man.
Would you break up with her?
No.
If the sex
it depends
good.
On how hot she was, you know. But
every guy friggin' ends every sentence with it depends on how hot she was when you're talking about
eight
a chick.
Months. That's still new. That's still strange.
Right.
I would watch the Seinfeld episode with him, and then be like, "So, what do you think?
Which one?
The one where Elaine admits that every orgasm she had with Jerry was fake.
That's a great one.
Yeah. Right. And be like, see." Because you bring in some
levity.
Because
every guy says, no, every woman's orgasm with me. And then I'm like, guess what, dude? That's not true.
And Jerry's like, what about the panting and the breathing and the moaning? And she's like, fake. Yeah.
Can you find that?
Okay.
So here's the thing. This is what I recommend to you, Alex, is that you can tell him, like, first of all, you want to start the conversation in a neutral area. His pride's available. His pride is involved. Little omissions are fine. But don't have this in the bedroom. You can tell him, hey, listen, babe, I want to be honest with you. It's really hard for me to reach orgasm from sex alone. And sometimes I feel like I almost get there, but I can't quite get over the edge. And everything feels amazing. You're so great at, you know, oral, kissing, you know, let them know what you really love about them. And it's not that I haven't enjoyed sex with you. I just think we could try something different. You know, that there's some moves I think that we could try that might really get me there. And so that's where you need to start. And also mutual masturbation, again, it's great. You say that luckily you've had orgasms on your own.
She knows how to do it to herself, too.
Yeah, here's the thing. So why not use your fingers?
Yeah.
Just be like, because maybe I think some women sometimes don't want to rub themselves.
And sometimes the penis can be distracting, I bet.
Well, the penis is distracting. And most women don't orgasm from intercourse alone.
Right.
30% do. So, right. Honey, you're fine. It's just a matter of like, you know, just saying, you know what? Sometimes I feel like I almost get there, but this will give me killer orgasms. Let's try this.
Right.
And like bring in your vibrator, bring in your hands, bring in your lube, whatever it is that gets you there. But a great thing too is mutual masturbation. It's kind of like a sexy show and tell, mm-hmm. like candles. You watch each other. And once he learns and he's watching and he knows how to get you there yourself, he can learn how to please you manually because most women require more clitoral stimulation. Let's just be honest.
If he's a good learner, yes.
Yeah, I mean, some guys are.
What about
guys
the breathing,
aren't.
The panting, the moaning, the screaming?
Fake.
I'm stunned. I'm shocked.
That's awesome.
Jerry was shocked.
Love Jerry.
He was stunned. She gave him a second chance.
And then it didn't happen, right?
He couldn't get it up.
I remember that. Seinfeld is still brilliant, correct?
Oh, it is. Absolutely. The wife and I stood in line a couple months
ago. Oh, my God. You went to that.
For 5 hours to go see the pop-up Jerry's apartment.
They rebuild the house.
It was a Hulu ad, essentially, on Melrose here in Hollywood. And it was worth the 5 hours. It started pouring rain.
It was right near my house.
And we stood in there.
I was like, who the hell are those people in line in the rain?
It was me.
Was it amazing? They recreated the same exact house?
Yeah, it was the exact apartment. It was like standing in his apartment. We literally were standing in his apartment.
It was weird.
It was fantastic.
I mean, there's like Versace, but it was like Seinfeld house. I'm Melrose. That's cool. Okay, well, thank you, Anderson. What's going on with Cinematics, your new podcast this week?
Cinematics this week. Last week, I know we did, because we haven't recorded this week yet. Last week, we did the new Disney movie, The Finest Hours, with Christopher Pine, which actually, you know what, wasn't that bad, considering this time of year. Based on a true story, it was action-packed, and it was about an oil tanker that gets sliced in half by a big storm. We also covered all of the Oscar shorts, pretty much all of the Oscar shorts, some of which were great. One of the Oscar shorts, Emily, made me cry. One of them made me immediately watch with my wife again the next day. That's animated, and it's available on Netflix. And I'll let you know where you can find that and how you should watch it on Netflix. The Oscar shorts, they don't get much love. But
no,
they're actually,
they don't, but they're amazing.
They're playing at a few theaters around the country right now.
I've always loved the shorts. It's good service you're doing there. Okay, so yeah, well, thank you everyone for listening, and keep checking out our podcast. We've got two a week. Subscribe to them. And also, if you like the show and you're like, God, that was really cool, I learned something today, be awesome if you go to iTunes, give us a little 5 stars.
Or 2, or 1.
Well, you know, if it's 1, you just should probably stop listening. Why torture yourself? But 5 would be great. And thank you, everyone in my office. Thank you, Madison. Thank you, Lori. Thank you, Anderson. And thanks so much for listening.
Oh, wait. I'm sorry. In After Disaster, I told a story about how I bought a hot skateboard off of two heroin heads. Two guys that are trying to buy heroin, and I bought a skateboard by mistake from them. It's a horrible story.
Okay, check it out. Check out his podcast, you guys. I know you love him. Okay, thanks everyone for listening. Was it good for you? Email me, feedback@sexwithemily.com.